This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. The city of Follansbee in the northern panhandle experienced heavy rain over the weekend that left parts of the town flooded in 8 feet of water. Glynis Board reports that cleanup is now underway.
Arthur Quatrochi is covered in mud, and there's a blister the size of a quarter torn into the palm of his left hand. He's in the middle of Follansbee in front of his son's house.
I come at Saturday about 6 o'clock. We had two heavy rains here Saturday, 11 o'clock and about 5 o'clock, and it really downpoured. The water come from the Allegheny Creek up here. It got plugged up.
Two very short but very intense rain events on Saturday dropped 5 inches of water over the town of about 3,000 people. The six-block area that Quatrochi is standing in was hardest hit by the flash flooding. Damage assessment continued through Monday, with the National Guard going from building to building. Bob Fowler is the director of Brook County Emergency Management.
It's not a lot of money in this county, so you know, this is a devastating impact on our county here. We lost our coal mines. We lost Weirton Steel, which was a big impact here on our county financially.
Fowler says there's not enough damage to warrant an emergency declaration, so individuals in the county will be left to pay for a lot of the cleanup, repairs, and replacement of ruined property. Roughly 200 homes were affected, mostly on basement levels. 30 to 40 businesses and at least 3 churches have moderate to heavy damage. 40 to 50 vehicles were also destroyed. That includes a fleet that delivers food and transports elderly and disabled people around the county. Laura Beckelheimer is the executive director of the Brook County Committee on Aging and Disability.
All of our vehicles that deliver meals to both counties, Brook and Hancock, were damaged, and people have given us vehicles to use.
Yeah, you lost how many vehicles?
9 out of 12.
Crews are working now to clear the debris. Several locations continue to serve the area with disaster cleanup supplies, food, and water. City Manager John DeStefano says Follansbee hasn't seen flooding like this weekend's since the early 90s. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Follansbee.
If a gas company wants to sell you a drilling lease, you have every right to turn them down. But when it comes to building gas pipelines on private land, the same rules may not apply, the Allegheny Front's Julie Grant explains.
The quiet hills of eastern Ohio and Harrison County have become a popular spot, and not just for the cicadas you hear, but also for oil and gas development. Mick Luber grows his tomatoes, greens, even fava beans here at his organic farm and sells them at markets in Pittsburgh and Wheeling. He says recent years have brought a compressor station and multiple well sites so close, they wake them up at night.
For the first year that they were fracking, it was hard for me to go outside. I felt so bad hearing the roar of all this stuff. It's nice to have the cicadas that drowned them out.
Now pipeline companies like Kinder Morgan are showing up. They came knocking on Luber's door.
They wanted to come right down through this main field and go up over top of that hill. There's a spring right up there. That's the most fertile part of this farm.
Marathon is already building a pipeline on the southern border of his farm. Luber points up to the valley where pipes are lined up waiting to be connected. The ground has been stripped bare.
This is what you end up with. This was all woods.
Shell is also planning a line here. So when Kinder Morgan showed up, Luber said no. No pipeline, not even a survey.
I told him I didn't want it.
Kinder Morgan sued. One of the main arguments in Luber's defense, the contents of Kinder Morgan's pipeline. Not natural gas for home heating, but to send ethane to Canada for Nova Chemicals to make plastics. Ethane, along with propane and butane, are known as natural gas liquids. They're byproducts of natural gas that's been fracked in the region. Increasingly, landowners are arguing that they shouldn't have to give up their property rights for companies to transport these liquids to make plastics, especially if they're being sent to foreign countries. Kinder Morgan spokesperson Alan Foer says, yes, they should. Plastics are in the public interest.
You tell me anybody in this country that doesn't use plastics in some way and that plastics aren't critically important to their everyday lives, from cups to medical devices, to automobiles.
You might think the federal government would have a say in whether transporting these natural gas liquids to make plastics is important enough to usurp individual property rights. If this were a natural gas pipeline, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, would have authority over siting its route. But what about these liquids like ethane?
FERC has no authority to regulate natural gas liquids in the United States at all.
Attorney Rich Raiders represents about a dozen landowners in Pennsylvania against eminent domain action from a different pipeline company, Sunoco Logistics. He says when FERC has authority, as it does for siting natural gas pipelines, landowners have a say in how it's routed.
That's an all public, eyes open discussion, whereas for natural gas liquid line, that's between the individual landowner and the pipeline operator, and no government entity is involved at all.
Well, the Federal Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration does require permits for large earth disturbances and around bodies of water for pipeline routes. But when it comes to eminent domain, that's being decided in state courts. The Kentucky Supreme Court recently let a lower court ruling stand. It found that the pipeline company in that case is not a public utility, which means it does not have the power of eminent domain to site a natural gas liquids pipeline. In Pennsylvania, pipeline companies that want eminent domain power also have to get certified as a public utility by the State Public Utility Commission, the PUC. To do that, they have to show that their project will benefit the people of the Commonwealth. And what that means is under debate. One of the biggest headline grabbers on this issue has been Sunoco's Mariner East project. It includes two pipelines, an older one that's been repurposed and a newer one, both carrying natural gas liquids. The new line begins in Ohio near McLuber's farm in Harrison County, runs through Pennsylvania to the Marcus Hook Industrial Complex on the Delaware border near Philadelphia. From there, Raider says the propane is being shipped to Europe.
That's not a need of the Commonwealth.
And so he argues Sunoco should not have the power of eminent domain. The company would not record an interview for this story. In an email to the Allegheny Front, Sunoco says the project will provide propane for heating fuel to markets in Pennsylvania. Sunoco says for the Mariner East 2 pipeline, it's a utility based on a certification granted by the PUC to their older pipeline back in the 1930s. Some are fighting that stance in court, and a state appeals court recently sided with Sunoco. Pennsylvania's Commonwealth Court ruled in July that the company is a public utility and that that power extends to all 17 counties along the pipeline's path. Sunoco's email says still they've come to agreement with the majority of landowners. Attorney Nicholas Anderson represents a landowner in Harrison County that's in Ohio. The Teeter family is fighting Sunoco's eminent domain action.
The bottom line is that when they're approaching landowners in Ohio, they have this big stick called eminent domain. And so they say, look, we'll give you X number of dollars per linear foot, but if you don't accept that, we're just going to take your property. And that is where we have a problem.
Anderson says along that Kinder Morgan ethane pipeline from Ohio to Canada, the one farmer Mick Luber was fighting, the company recently filed 130 eminent domain cases in at least 8 Ohio counties. Kinder Morgan spokesperson Alan Force says they only take eminent domain action as a last resort.
If you look at our route, you can see a lot of zigs and zags and turns, certainly not a straight line. Those are all based upon big issues like avoiding environmentally sensitive areas or individual landowner concerns.
Like McLuber, Kinder Morgan recently announced they would reroute around his farm. Still, Luber doesn't see it as a victory.
Well, as long as these guys are still doing this stuff, what is the victory, you know? You can't stop the vigilance, you know? People got to keep standing in their way.
Kinder Morgan says Luber got what he wanted, but the company wants to make it clear they can't reroute for every landowner who has a problem with their pipeline. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
The Allegheny Front is produced in Pittsburgh and reports on the environment. Learn more at AlleghenyFront.org. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:53. Some fog this morning, becoming partly sunny today with isolated rain and thunderstorms. Temperatures in the 70s in the eastern mountains and the mid to upper 80s elsewhere. Partly cloudy tonight with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Overnight lows in the 60s. And our outlook for Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies, a chance of afternoon rain and thunderstorms. Highs in the 70s in the eastern mountains, in the 80s to near 90 degrees in the remainder of the state.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. employerservices@wvdrs.org.
America has a habit of throwing drugs at problems. You have high blood pressure? Here, take a pill. You have type 2 diabetes? Here's some insulin. But often the root of common medical problems like cholesterol, blood pressure, and diabetes is lifestyle. At the free clinic HealthRight Wheeling, two healthcare providers decided to tackle that problem by partnering with a local farm to provide prescriptions of fresh, local veggies to a pilot group of patients in a new initiative called Pharmacy, that farm being F-A-R-M. The idea? Give people the tools to eat well, and they will be well. Here's Appalachian Health News reporter Kara Lofton.
Last Thursday, outside of HealthRight Wheeling, the skies opened and it poured. But the rain didn't damper the steady trickle of patients like Brenda Mazza and her 24-year-old daughter, Brooke, who came in to fill prescriptions of vegetables. Yes, you heard that right. Prescriptions. Like, hi, can I get my insulin and cabbage, please?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Oh, great. So, do you guys want to do this together? And I will explain. Your doctor's choice items this week are one bundle of beets and one cantaloupe.
That's Kate Marshall with the food advocacy organization Grow Ohio Valley. Grow Ohio Valley is partnering with HealthRight Wheeling to provide the food for this Farm to Health initiative. The pharmacy is the brainchild of Dr. Carol Greco and physician assistant Amanda Cummins. Last year, they were running a diabetes support group when they realized that many of the group members didn't eat fresh vegetables at all.
We would reference, food prep or something, like you should do this, like make batches of rice at the beginning of the week or whatever, and it was like, we don't even know how to boil rice.
That's physician assistant Amanda Cummins. She said for a couple weeks they began to teach basic cooking skills. It helped. But Greco and Cummins felt they needed to take the project one step further. In collaboration with Grow Ohio Valley, HealthRight Wheeling procured a grant to start the pharmacy. The grant gave them just enough money to give prescriptions of produce to 35 people for 15 weeks. At the pharmacy, Dr. Greco begins to fill out a prescription card for $20 of fresh vegetables. She gestures at the tent beside her where Kate Marshall is helping a patient pick out onions, potatoes, microgreens, tomatoes, and various fruits.
Pretty much any greens you can use this recipe on, which is why we've stuck it next to the Swiss chard today, because this recipe, you can supplement kale for Swiss chard.
Oh, that's great.
Love learning new things.
Greco says so far, they have had really high participation rates. The first 2 weeks, 98% of participants turned out to get their vegetables. But the third week, about a third of the participants showed up. Marshall attributes the dip to the heavy rain and the fact that most participants walked to the clinic. Over the next 12 weeks, Greco and Cummins will be monitoring participants like Brenda and Brooke Mazza to see if, with access to healthy food, their health problems respond accordingly. Appalachia Health News will also be following the Mazzas over the next 12 weeks to see what impact access to fresh food has on their health. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedum Foundation.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Bob Powell. I'm Beth Voorhees.